And during that song, we already had one walk in the aisle. I mean, did you see that over here in this section? And my son, Jonathan, is just turned 3. This is his second service in big church ever in his life. So he's like, what are we doing? You know, he sees Daddy raise his hand. He's thinking, oh, I think I need to come up there. So anyway, just bear with us. We're just young parents, wet behind the ears, just taking it one day at a time. So I tell you what, just pray for us. We're excited. Lord willing, this week our boys will do some singing, some Bible quoting, and David will sing with us a bit as well. And let's go jump into the Word of God tonight. The Bible says in Psalm 40, reading verse number 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Heavenly Father, we ask that You be with us now for the remainder of this service. We ask, Holy Spirit of God, for Your power. We ask, Holy Spirit, that You would settle upon us as You already have, I believe, and I pray that You would have liberty to walk up and down the aisles and among the pews tonight. Lord, that there would be nothing that would hinder You, nothing that would hold You back from being able to minister unto our hearts and to, God, really mold us more into Thy image. And I pray tonight that we're here just desiring to spiritually just anticipate to hear the still small voice of God. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to not get distracted. Lord, I pray tonight that You'll not let our minds to wander. But God, I pray that we'll be very attentive to the truth that You have. And Lord, that we'll just be enthusiastic to soak it up tonight. Revive us again, O God, we ask. Renew, refresh, reignite, and help us in this area of prayer. Thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. This morning, preached maybe a rather unconventional message, but I believe it tied very well. I don't know if you had noticed your bulletin cover. Did anybody notice that this morning? What the Bible said there in Psalm 18, verse number 31, for who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? We quickly brought to our recollection this morning how that our God is different from all the other deities out there, that He is the one, that He is the only. And honestly, to prove the point, we find in the books of Isaiah and Jeremiah how that He even searched the heavens. He searched His own creation, the universe, and He went from one side to the other, and He was trying to find desperately if there was another God besides Him. Not a fake God, you know, like an idol or a creation of man's hands or some religious ideology or the figment of our imagination, but a real, literal God. And He told His own people, the children of Israel, I found none. Of course, there I love what the verse says. I believe it's in Isaiah 45, verse number 22, the verse that was used to bring Charles Spurgeon to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. By the way, I think it's just good for us to pause right there and to think about that testimony of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, how that God used him in his generation. And to think about the faithfulness of the man who was preaching there that night. I don't know if you're aware of the story, but there it was, just a blizzard whiteout, if you will, a very snowy time there in England, and how that this man there, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I'm sorry if I am wrong, but I believe it was a midweek service, and Mr. Spurgeon, just a teenage boy, came trumping in, you know, all snowy and things, and sat in the back, and there were only 13 people there at church that night. Yet the man of God was faithful to preach the thus saith the Lord. And as a result of their faithfulness, now, y'all know about faithfulness and snow. We call you Minnesota up here. Amen? Because of the faithfulness of that preacher and keeping the doors open as their custom was to be in church at that time, as a result, there was a teenage boy that got saved, and he had no idea who that man would become. Now, if we could also mention this, thinking about a man such as Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and if we're not careful, we get so enamored with people of the past, but they were human beings just like you and me. They had struggles, they had a flesh, they had a sin nature just like you and me. I'm not seeking to dethrone him, I'm not seeking to criticize him, I'm not seeking to belittle his legacy or his testimony, but understand this, if God could use a Charles Haddon Spurgeon, God could use someone like me. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, amen? And God didn't pick Charles Haddon Spurgeon to live in 2017. He gave you and me the responsibility. We're not the leftovers, amen? And I know that we might be in the 11th hour, but it's not like God is looking down at things and saying, oh man, we're losing this thing so bad, and looking at the bench, you know, and saying, okay, all right, I'll give you a little court time, make you feel good. That is not the Lord, amen? He has handpicked and He has chosen us, and we'll talk about that later in the week, just trying to dangle something out there to lure you back, amen? But anyway, you're thinking, man, if we're getting into the message by 6:50 at night, what is the rest of the week going to be like? No, I'm just joking. But if God placed you here in this generation, in this time, for such time as this, you better mark it down that God will equip you. And God will use you if you truly are that living sacrifice. Someone who has, if I could use a term from yesteryear, someone who's going to sell out. Not to this old world, but to the will of God. Someone who's going to have a spirit. Now, I don't want to scare you, but this is a little maverick. Are you ready? Someone who's going to have a reckless abandonment about them. Someone who's going to be all in, man, desiring for God to use them. I believe that's what that song is seeking to teach us. And that's just a new song that my wife and I have really been burdened with, convicted with, and something that we've heard for years, but God has just really recently been using that in our hearts and lives to count for Jesus. What really matters? Man, accumulating money really doesn't matter. Because naked I came into this world, and naked I'm going out. The Bible does, of course, don't take me out of context tonight. The Bible does specify, of course, if we're able to go ahead and to save up and to give an inheritance to our children and our future descendants. It talks about to enjoy the fruit of our labor. It's a gift of God. But all that would not be our driving force in life. Amen? We preach this morning about the God of wonders. We preach this morning, and taking a quick, sharp turn back to the message before we get down to the weeds even further, amen? Maybe you'll catch that, maybe you won't. But preachers are known for rabbit trailing, and that's where the rabbit trails are. I said that once, rabbit trail. Sorry about that, we just took a rabbit trail. I was in New York City. Everybody looked at me like a calf looking at a new gate. And even trying to use that kind of a word, play on words, was like even worse. But anyway, you get down to the weeds real quick. Well, we preach this morning about God, and if we're not careful, losing that perspective. I love, someone just caught it. Amen. The Bible tells us, and don't turn there for the sake of time, but we find similar passages such as Psalm 77, verse number 13 and 14. He says, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary." And God wants to move and work right here. That's why it's important for us to be in the house of God. I believe we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of such is, but rather we should be a gathering together even so much the more as we see the day approaching. Now, why is God convicting you? Why is God seeking to exhort you and commending you? Hey, you need to be in church. Man, because he knows it's going to help you. Amen? He wants you to be able to grow, and he wants you to be able to hear the preaching and the teaching. And I don't know how many, so many times, man, I love being able to listen to preaching because it's multifaceted. Not only am I getting a message, but also sometimes as we go to a passage of scripture that's like the preacher's not preaching on the verse after where he's trying to put my attention to, but there's something in that next verse that God just gives to me, and God really uses my heart and life. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Man, it's just, wow, and look at that, and you just scribble it down real fast, and it's just, God is just giving all sorts of stuff. At least that's the way it ought to be. Amen? By the way, people sometimes, they complain, and this is random. They say, I don't know about going to that church. I'm just not getting fed. Well, maybe the reason we're not getting fed is because we're full on other stuff. The Bible says that we should hunger after righteousness, but there's no way in the world that we're going to be hungry for something if we're already stuffed. And maybe we're coming into the house of God. I don't know. I know it's random, but God is telling me to say it, so we're saying it. And maybe we're coming into the house of God, and we've got no appetite for spiritual things. We've got no desire to be filled with God because we're already filled with self. We're already filled with sin. We're already filled with secular philosophy and Hollywood. Maybe we're filled with who knows what. Oh, that we would empty ourselves of ourselves, and that we would come in just open and ready, a clean vessel, desiring God. Man, to fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Amen? That we would have a desire for God just to pour himself in us and just let it go ahead and overflow and get into the saucer. Amen? That's what we need in our lives. The Bible says there in Psalm 78, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders." And I wonder here tonight if we may dovetail on this morning's message. Have we made an extraordinary God commonplace in our hearts and lives?
Have we lost the perspective of who God is and what God is capable of doing? When's the last time that we stopped and meditated upon His names and upon His attributes and upon His actions and deeds that He's performed in Scripture, God painstakingly preserving them in His Word so that we can find application for them in our everyday life? Amen? It's like when I face the fiery trials, or I may be in a den of lions or something along those lines, how that God was able to help them, God was able to sustain them, God was able to preserve them, God was able to provide for them, God was able to protect for them. Hey, the same God of yesteryear is the exact same God of today. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. Have we lost our wonder with the God of wonders? That's what we preached about this morning. Jumping now to Psalm 40, verse number 1. What the choir sang about tonight as well, and thank you so much for that number. I waited patiently for the Lord, for this amazing, incredible God of heaven. Now, I believe that once we get the right perspective of God and realize that He got the whole world in His hand, amen, and He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, that we will have no problem with waiting. Because we know that His will is always best. We know that He orders the steps of a good man, that His way is perfect, that there is no whoops or uh-oh to God. Nothing is catching Him by surprise. And when I go maybe through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I've got no care in the world. I don't have to be scared or worried because Thou art with me. Amen. By the way, let me just give you something real quick, something that God gave me in my devotions here about a month and a half ago. Turn in your Bibles briefly. Keep your finger in Psalm 40, but turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Let's see here tonight. Deuteronomy chapter number 30. Deuteronomy 30, verse number 8. This is wonderful tonight. Deuteronomy 30, verse number 8. Deuteronomy 30, verse number 8. I'm still hearing pages rustling, and if I may just, if you will, highlight the previous verse, we find that exhortation to be strong and of a good courage. Oh, that we wouldn't be weak-kneed Christians, amen? We're not strong in ourselves, but we're strong in the Lord and the power of His might, Ephesians 6. Now that you've all joined us there, in Deuteronomy 30, verse number 8, the Bible says, "And the Lord," this is all the same God, amen? "And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee." Do you realize that God is already in your tomorrow? God is a step ahead of you. He is a turn ahead of you. He knows what lies on the morrow. Now, we're not supposed to boast ourselves of tomorrow because we have no idea what it's going to bring forth, right? But there is someone who is aware. Past, present, future. He knows the outcome of every single decision. He knows the result and the consequence of every single choice that is made. And it blows my mind because God is sovereign, but at the same time, He has created within every single human being the free will. And even though God knows what is best and God knows what is right, He willingly allows His creation, His children, to choose to do whatever it is that they desire to do. Now that should scare the living daylights out of you and me. Because why? Because we can make a mess of things real quick. But God has never made a mess. Rather, He always performs miracles. Amen? And how that God, He knows the result. He knows the consequence. He knows the end, if you will, of each decision that is made. And in the big web of life, the maze of life, that I believe that there is a thin white line of the will of God, of what is best, of what is good, acceptable, and perfect. A way that transcends our own. Thoughts concerning the future that transcends our own. In all that we would be ever sensitive to follow God, knowing that He knows what's best. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. The ends thereof are the ways of death. If God says it once, we ought to pay attention to it, right? But if God says it twice, you better not forget it. And God doesn't say that once in Scripture, but twice, in all that we would be careful not to do that which is right in our own eyes, but understand that God, He knows what's best for us, and that we would let go and let God, and would have faith, as we'll preach about later on in the week, but understanding this, that as we trust Him, and as we're ever sensitive to His leadership, and as we have a desire to follow His will, and for God, what He has dreamed about us of, up in glory, to become a reality upon the earth, Understand this, that God is already in our tomorrow. The Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. I believe that God is waiting for us there. Even though it may catch us by surprise, it doesn't catch God by surprise. Even though, if I can make this statement, even though we don't know what's going on, God knows what's going on. He sees the full picture, the full spectrum. Let me take it a step further. Even when we don't know what God is doing, God knows what He is doing. Amen. He it is that doth go before thee. He's already in your tomorrow, and guess what? He already has a solution. Now, this is going to be random, but I believe it'll tie together. We hear that phrase, still small voice, right? I believe I've made this statement here before, still small voice. How many of you are familiar with that? The still small voice of God. How are we going to hear the still small voice of God unless we first become still and we become small? God is already in our tomorrow. He already has a solution. He wants to share that with you if you will swallow your pride and you'll surrender your heart, knowing that you have a free will, but say, God, I want to give you the reins. God, I'm going to give you the steering wheel, all the applications you want to use there. And God, I want you to be in control. I want you to be in charge. And then we can begin to see the supernatural take place in our lives. Now, if I could mention this, why am I going to say this? Because I'm very guilty of it. A lot of times in life, I have a preconceived idea of what I want the outcome to be. But I have to remember tonight, the Bible says in Psalm 55, you can fact check me if you want. Amen. I know some of you, I quote scripture. I said, don't turn there for the sake of time. You're still turning there anyway. But in Isaiah 55, that's good. Amen. Don't ever get out of that habit, being facetious with you. He tells us there that your thoughts are not my thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. But as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts above, and I may paraphrase here, so are my thoughts above your thoughts and my ways above your ways. Now, can somebody help me out tonight? What is the closest celestial body? It's this big object in the night sky that we see, you know, and sometimes when it's full, a few of us just want to go out there and go, whoa! No, just joking. Like, who in the world is this guy with the clear God of mercy? We got another five nights of him? No. Okay, does anybody know what is that? The moon. 240,000 miles away. And that may just be a glimpse of God trying to prove to you, hey, that's how elevated my thoughts about existence and life are above yours. That is how far beyond my ways are compared to yours. And even though we don't understand things, I'm thankful for this, one day we will understand. One day things will make sense. But all the way as God's people that we would understand that God knows what's going on and God is already there and wise of us to cast it at His feet, to give it out to Him, to cry unto the Lord and wait patiently on God, not run ahead of God, not lag behind, but stay ever sensitive to allow Him to lovingly lead us. Amen. If we may finish here quickly the verse in Psalm 30, verse number 8. I love this. It says, the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. The God of heaven is stepping before you in your life. Amen. Making the way, preparing for you. When you come up to the storms and the crisis in life, He's already got a solution. The Bible says, He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, or He's not going to let you down. He's not going to drop the ball as a result of being idle or caught off guard. Neither forsake thee. He's not going to abandon you or leave you behind or where, you know, it's really getting tough. He's going to try to find a way of escape and say, see ya, I'll meet you on the other side. That's not God. But when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. You know the poem about the footsteps, right? The footprints. My parents had that old 1970s decoration in their house. Maybe you know what I'm talking about, the wood plaque, varnished, with like five coats. You know what I'm talking about? You know, a little clock, you know, that I always needed batteries once a week. But I love that. It made a profound influence on my life. And as a child, being able to read that, I want to get that clock. I don't know if we still have it. I want you to put that in the will, Mom and Dad. Amen. I want that clock. But how that along the beach there was, and you could see the two footprints. And then when it got to the troublesome times, it was only one set of footprints. Well, God, why is that? Well, what happened? Did you not join me? Did you not walk with me through this? No, my son, I was there. The reason there's only one set of footprints is because I was carrying you. I waited patiently upon the Lord, the Bible says. You know, I find it very fascinating. And as I did a word study here in Psalm 40, would you join with me back there in that passage of Scripture? Psalm 40. God's not going to forsake you. Don't be scared. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Don't be worried. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. Amen? The Bible says here in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. It's interesting, the word waited and the word patiently in the Old Testament Hebrew is the exact same word used twice. It's kava. Kava. I kava kava for the Lord. It's amazing. It's kind of like us saying, I waited, oh, I waited. The definition of this word is to eagerly look for, to hope in, to tarry. Oh, that as God's people, that this would be our testimony, that this would be our life, that this is the kind of decision we will make in that troublesome time. Instead of us trying to try all these sources and try all these options and trying to make sure our ducks are in a row, oh, that we would just wait on God. We would eagerly look for God in the moment, in the crisis, and see what God is seeking to do through this troublesome time, that we would tarry for God in our life. Waiting is the hardest thing to do. All of the men in the room are like, yes, yes, yes. Time to go to church. Where are you? Still in the bathroom putting on makeup. Come on, you know. My wife, oh, she is here. Whoops. I thought you had slipped out with one of the children. You know, by the way, you know why? It's amazing. This is horrible. That's a bad use of words. This is amazing. This is horrible. This is amazingly horrible. You ready? I was taught in first grade, I think, to read the clock, that the that the long hand represents the men, because we're taller, right? And the short hand, this has nothing to do with the message, okay? This is, okay. The short hand, are you ready? The short hand, just a tidbit of trivia knowledge, the short hand represents the women. Oh, okay, you know, just soaking it up, my mind is a blank slate. Oh, wow, you know, learning from the teacher. And then the pun came in, the punchline. You see how that it goes from the 12 to the 1? It only takes the long hand 5 minutes. But it takes the women an entire hour to get there. Amen. Nothing to do with the message. And you know what's the problem? You know what's a shame? That's what you're going to walk away with remembering. Talking about waiting patiently. Kava, kava, eagerly looking for, hoping in, tarrying. It's speaking of one who's in desperate need of rescue. And someone who's not going to lose, if I may borrow the word, hope. Being convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that help is on the way. Now, with that in mind, I want you to see a couple of different passages. It's amazing. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, very quickly. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, and this is, I haven't alluded to this passage. I haven't preached out of this passage for well over 2 years. And there's a message in and of itself right here in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. I want you to see this here very, very briefly tonight. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, speaking about God's people and the king, Judah going up against war, the insurmountable odds they were facing as the enemies of God were coming against the people of God. I find in verse number 5 in 2 Chronicles 20, the Bible says, and Jehoshaphat, king of the stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Don't you see a renewed perspective there? Didn't we take the time to preach about that this morning? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? You know, the old devil likes to boast himself to be the prince and the power of the air, but God is still the ruler yet. He's still the king. Amen? And in thine hand, the Bible continues to say, is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Down in verse number 12, we find here, and it's a powerful thought, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. They were helpless. They were hopeless, but yet they were not. They waited patiently. They tarried. They eagerly looked for God through it all. Realizing God is the one who brought this in our life, then God has a reason and God has a purpose. I love what the Bible says here in verse number 12. It says, and the Bible testifies, they said, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And old Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and their children, and they waited patiently. The Bible doesn't say how long they waited. It could have been 5 minutes. It could have been 5 hours. It could have been days. I don't know, but they waited patiently. And oh, that would be our testimony tonight. But our eyes are upon thee. Nothing is going to distract me from my perspective. Nothing is going to take away my focus. Nothing is going to take away my attentiveness unto thee, O God. But help my heart, help my eyes, help my mind to be 110% glued to you, O God. Oh, I'm going to wait patiently. I know that life seems to be spiraling out of control. I know at times things don't seem to make sense, but there is one who is above all. There is one who sees all. There is one who's in my tomorrow. There is one who has a solution. There is one who seeks to make a miracle out of this mess. I think I just woke somebody up. I'm sorry about that. And praise God that that same God that they were able to fixate their eyes upon is the exact same God of 2017 that we ought to have our eyes, our focus, and our faith upon and in. Amen. Notice what the Bible says, jumping back to the book of Psalm quickly. We're winding things down tonight. In Psalm 121, Psalm 121, a similar picture here. Psalm 121, the Bible preaches itself best, does it not? Let's read verse number 1 down to verse number 8. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. This is a personal decision. It may not be popular. It may not be the trend. Everybody else may say, well, what are you doing? Wasting your time with this and that and the other. It's time for you to take action. Are you with me tonight? I will. This is a personal decision where I am going to grit my teeth together. This is the resolution that we are going to make in our life. Nothing else. I will. I'm not double-minded. I'm not weighing all my odds and my options, but rather there is one and one alone, and it's God. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He's got the right perspective, doesn't he? He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. God doesn't sleep on the job. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. Do you realize that your life has not been entrusted unto some bureaucratic angel? But rather, God is the one who is over all and sees all. Fascinated, familiar with everything. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. What we think is evil, God means for our good. Amen. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out, thy coming in, from this time forth, and even forevermore. Oh, this kind of perception and this kind of understanding that no wonder the psalmist was able to just go ahead and exclaim there. And man, give such a bold testimony as we find in Psalm 40, verse number 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. I'm kava, kava. I'm eagerly looking for and hoping in and tarrying for God. I can't wait for God to show up. I can't wait to see what God does. I can't wait, man, to be able to glorify God through this instance of my life. And even though I don't understand things, he knows exactly what's best. Now, folks, it may not be till we get to glory till we understand. Can we just be honest tonight? It may not be till we get on the other side of things that we see the full view. But rest assured that God is always making beauty out of ashes. God is painting a portrait. He's weaving a tapestry. He's making a beautiful picture out of the puzzle of life. And we get that eternal perspective. This is what our view is. It's two-dimensional, but one day we're going to be able to get overall and have that three-dimensional view. Amen? And see every single aspect of it and realize the ins and outs of what God was seeking to do. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. I have to confess tonight, this is probably not a good thing for a preacher to say, but I had no intention of saying any of that tonight. The place where I wanted to go, and maybe that's the problem, I wanted to get somewhere, but God wanted us to linger for a while. The place I wanted to get to was the end of the verse. Concerning the aspect of prayer, I waited patiently, and he inclined unto me and heard my, what? My cry. The Bible says in Psalm 55, 17, evening and at morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Do you realize tonight that prayer is that avenue where we can communicate with God? That's awesome. I'm not going to get a busy signal. I'm not going to have to leave a message after the beep. I hate those, you know. I don't have to speak with someone on the helpline, you know, and let me talk to your superior. Nope, we get directly to the throne of heaven. And we can boldly enter that throne room. We have that access through Jesus Christ. Amen? Getting directly to God. It's incredible. Prayer is communicating. It's being able to talk to God at any time. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what time it is. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you're facing. You can talk to God. And He's there listening to your prayers. Evening and at morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall. And all the joy that should overwhelm our souls and men, just the reality that should flood our hearts, hallelujah, tonight. Seriously. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. God, man, He listens to me. Pitily old little me. I'm nothing. I'm more microscopic than a speck of dust. And God is intrigued and fascinated with me as His child. That God, that He hears my prayers. But furthermore, God hearkens unto my prayers. The Bible says that I waited patiently for the Lord and He inclined, right? What does that statement inclined mean? It means that God is stooping low, that God is being very attentive, that God is making sure that He is getting every single word that you're saying. He doesn't want to miss anything. He's not guilty of listening and hearing like us husbands are. Man, I'm really just hard on the men tonight. Sometimes our wives or our children are speaking to us and we're preoccupied. And sometimes things can go through one ear and out the other. Man, this is a rough crowd. It's a serious moment in the message, I know. That is not the Lord. Where He has the pet answers and He's just listening and He hears and He's preoccupied with other stuff because, after all, He's in charge of the entire universe and just wants to make sure that everything's going all right and in charge of so many people. Oh, okay, are you done yet? Okay, that's His mindset. No, not at all. But He hearkens. He hears my cry, prayer. What a blessing being able to communicate with God and commune with God, being able to cast all my care. These are different aspects of prayer. But I can cry, I can cry, I can weep tears, I can beseech the throne of grace, I can grab a hold of the horns of the altar and really pour myself out to God. That's what we ought to be doing. Because the Bible gives us the admonition that only the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let me ask you tonight, are we flippant in our prayers? All right, Lord, well, here it is. Or are we seeking to get a hold of heaven? Kind of like Jacob wrestled with the angel in the middle of the night. And he made the statement, I will not let you go until you bless me. You realize, and this is where it's really... A survey was conducted recently. It was discovered that the American Christian prays only an average of 15 minutes a day. And let me ask you tonight, if I could borrow the statement of Ron Garris, look at me in my God-given eyeball, amen, and answer me this. How are we going to be able to experience the availing much and the great and the mighty if we're not talking to God? If we're not crying out, church? If we're not casting and giving God our all and desiring the Lord to be interjected and to be interceding and to be engaged and involved in our life, it's not going to happen. But praise the Lord tonight. Number three and lastly, he hears my prayers. He hearkens unto my prayers. He's listening attentively. He is inclining. He is stooping low. What did you say, daughter? What did you say, son? Shh, shh, shh. What did you say? Oh, yeah, absolutely. And he is a high priest who feels our infirmities. When we're happy, he's happy with us. When we're sad, he's sad with us and he's heavy-hearted with us. Praise God tonight. But lastly, number three, he hears, he hearkens, but he heeds our prayers. He answers our prayers. Do you realize that God will always answer your prayer? The Bible says, call unto me and I... It's not me trying to make a braggadocious statement or force an outline. It's just scripture at face value. Call unto me and I will answer thee. Isn't that a blessing? If I may reiterate, and I've said this statement before, a lot of times we have a preconceived idea. Now, by way of this context, we have a preconceived idea of what we want the answer to be. We want the answer to be yes, but sometimes that's not God's will. The Bible says, ask and ye... shall receive. Understand this, folks. God will always answer your prayers. Maybe tonight we don't see God answering prayer. Maybe just starting at the basics here, the foundations, we're not praying the way we biblically ought to be praying. I don't know. That's just a statement I'm going to make. But the Bible does stress the importance of praying again and again and again. Someone who's going to be engaged in the spirit of prayer, and someone, here it is tonight, someone who's going to pray and to pray and to keep on praying until the answer comes. It may take 5 minutes. It may take a month. It may take 20 years. We're going to pray and we're going to pray and we're going to keep on praying about it, giving it to the Lord, crying out to God, casting it to the Lord, communicating with God about it until the answer comes. God will answer in one of three ways: yes, no, or not right now. Regardless of whatever the answer is, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is always good and God is only good. And what we cannot understand makes sense to God, and he's never made a mistake. The effectual fervent prayer. The prayer that is continually, perpetually in motion, effectual. Fervent, passionate. People who are going to pray, people who are going to pray with persistence, people who are going to pray with passion, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, people who are going to pray with a pure heart and a pure mind, that's when we can see heaven unleashed. The availing much take place. God moving and working, and I believe any answer to prayer, whether it's yes, no, or not right now, that it is the availing much of God. Even though we may not like it, even though it's not what we expected, we can rest assured that what God has meant is always for our good and for his glory. Question is tonight, are we eagerly looking for God in the moment? What are we quick? Don't lose me. I close my Bible. That's always a good sign for the preacher's actually getting done finally. Amen. But that doesn't mean that you should clock out. Man, did he just say that? Yep, he did. What are we quick to run to? Are we willing mentally, financially, emotionally, physically to wait? and tarry on God. Not going to move ahead. I'm not going to rush ahead until the Lord directs my heart. By the way, that's why it's so important to walk with God. Be continuing instant in prayer. Because the channel is always open and boom. Amen? Sometimes. But let me ask you tonight, are you praying? Are you crying out? Are you giving it to God? When's the last time? Just some questions. When's the last time you've seen an answer to prayer? Why have you not seen answers of prayer in your life? Do you have active things that you're praying for right now? People. Problems. So on and so forth. That you're actively praying for right now. Oh, tonight, church, that we would have a revival of prayer. This morning, if not seeking to alliterate, but this morning, a revival of perspective. Tonight, a revival of prayer where our hearts are going to be refreshed and renewed and reignited. And once we have that right view of God, man, there should be no hesitation. There should be no second guessing. There should be literally no doubt in our heart. Well, yeah, obviously, duh. Man, it's common sense to go ahead and talk to God about it because He is, after all, the Lord, the God of heaven. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless these thoughts tonight. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us to stay faithful in this area of prayer. Lord, it really is easy to talk about, but it's hard to live, to wait patiently. A revival of patience. Lord, we know that if we have patience and we let it have its perfect work, that it's going to accomplish the best results. James talks about that in chapter 1. Lord, I wonder tonight. I wonder tonight, God, if we're guilty of having a prayer life, which is good, but not having a life of prayer. Lord, I ask tonight that you would please open up our minds and our hearts, and Lord, help us to be more perceptive about interacting with you and calling out, crying out to you, and communicating with you, O God, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. That we would continue instant in prayer tonight. That our hearts would not get bitter. God, that as a result of the choice and the answer that you gave us, that we wouldn't backslide, getting all upset at you, raising our fist in the air, saying, God, why? No, that we would humbly accept, knowing that you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you always have our best interest in mind. God, you're already in our tomorrow. Thank you, God. My heart is overwhelmed tonight with the promises we've seen in Scripture. Lord, I pray tonight that we would claim your promises, that we would call, desiring an answer, waiting and wondering and hoping to see the great and mighty things which we know not of yet. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In a moment, Pastor is going to lead us again by way of invitation. I encourage you to do business with God in your heart. Pastor, would you come and lead us tonight?